You're listening to the SCF Youth Podcast, Episode 5.
Hey guys, I was busy this week and had some meetings, so I didn't get to join Jeffrey on this podcast. But Jeffrey brought in as a special guest, Kaylee Evanchek, who for the last 3 years has been the main person in charge of our Christmas party. She's back from college to do that again this year, so just as a plug, don't forget this Thursday, January 10th, from 6:30 to 8, is our Christmas party. But doors open at 6:15, so join us at 6:15 for hot chocolate, board games, puzzles, hanging out. It's going to be a great time of crazy games that middle schoolers, high schoolers, and the 20-something ministry coming together just to enjoy this Christmas season a little bit late. Well, things have settled down a bit. Today's episode, Jeffrey and Kaylee talk about this idea of what missions trips and youth ministry is in general has meant to them. I gotta say, I am super proud of these two. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to this episode, and I hope you do too.
With me today is Kaylee Evanchek.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name's Kaylee. I went to youth group at SCF here with Jeffrey for a bit, and then I moved away to college, and now I'm back planning the Christmas party. I'm planning a Christmas party, guys, and it's going to be great. So, yeah.
Sweet. So what college do you go to?
I'm currently going to Boise State.
What are you majoring in?
Elementary education.
Nice. What made you want to pursue elementary education?
Okay. So at first I went to school for social work. And then I realized being a social worker with kids is just really hard to do. It's a really sad job and just a sad environment, seeing all those kids in that area. And I realized that through youth group and all the teaching that I've done there, I really enjoy teaching. And I love working with kids, so I just decided to do it.
Oh, best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So we have with us today the conversation dice that we used that Whitney was on. And what they are is they're dice from Chick-fil-A's kids' meal that Perfect. Piper got that have little symbols on them. So Kaylee is going to roll the dice and give us a story based off of the dice.
Mm-hmm.
So however you interpret that, you can give us a story, like a true story.
A true story? Okay, well, in Boise, there's this outdoor mall, and they have these fountains outside in the mall, and at Christmas time, sometimes they'll play to music, like up and down with the lights.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I have a picture here of someone listening to music and fountains, so.
So just something from Boise?
Yep.
Cool. So if you listened to last episode, it was kind of like a get-to-know Jeffrey type of episode. Nick was asking me a lot of questions, kind of just asking about how I grew up in the church, what my faith kind of looked like growing up. And so that's what we're going to be doing with Kaylee this episode. So when did you start going to SCF?
I've gone to SCF since I was a baby. Yeah, my parents went in 2000, and that's when I was born. I've gone to SCF ever since.
That's better than my response, because I said since utero, because my mom was pregnant with me while serving here. So you went? Did you go through Wild Kingdom and all those stuff?
Yep. Yeah, I grew up in Wild Kingdom, went to the kindergarten, then finally to the big class, and finally to Nick and the youth room, high school group, graduated from there, so all the way up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there anything you remember specifically from the Wild Kingdom side of things, that like a story you remember, or like something that had happened that you thought was memorable?
One of my favorite things we used to do in Wild Kingdom is we used to put on plays, like musicals. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
Yeah, we used to.
I played Noah.
Yeah.
In one of the musicals.
Yeah, and her name was Karen, who taught us, and I think it was like at 11 o'clock service or something, and we'd show up. I was always late, of course, you know, my mom, and we would sit there and learn the lines, learn the songs, and then audition for these songs and these parts. And then we'd put them on for the church. And then there was this one year we did Sermon on the Mount. So obviously it was a baseball theme. And she had us go out to a baseball diamond close to the church in cold. It was so cold. And we had to play basketball or play baseball to get into the rolls.
Nice.
We were like elementary schoolers.
Did you remember Christmas in Reverse? Did you ever do that one?
Christmas in Reverse? I was an angel in that angel play.
Because I remember being in a play, it was called Christmas in Reverse. Mm-hmm. And I still have the soundtrack somewhere in my house, yeah. I think I played Noah in that one. So I dressed up in a raincoat. I had a shepherd's staff. Uh-huh. And then I had one of the alligators from the Wild Kingdom room.
Yeah.
And one of the tigers in my hand. And I went on stage and then I left.
Perfect. That's a great role for you.
Oh, yeah. It was the best.
Yeah. Do you still get people talking about it? Like, hey, I remember you in this. Like
oh, my gosh. They recognize me on the streets. They're like, oh, my gosh. Did you play Noah in a play like 13 years ago?
For sure. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That would have been like 13 years ago. Because it was when I was little.
Yeah. Do you remember the angels, though? Like, we dressed in white and everyone was angels. And it was in the big service. And we, like, walked down and held candles.
No? I remember doing this little light of mine. In main service.
This was for Christmas, like, years and years ago. Hmm. And I just remember coming to church to prepare for that service. It was for one of the Christmas Eve services.
Maybe I didn't do it then.
And we were at church for, like, 8 hours.
Oh, wow.
I mean.
Alrighty. moving on to our next kind of a question. So you went through Wild Kingdom, you went through all the classrooms, and you got into middle school group. Did you ever go to the middle school Bible study group?
I went occasionally to Thursday night groups.
How was that for you?
Honestly, I didn't fit in as much with small groups as I'd like to. Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay. Not everyone fits in. You know, you need your own type of small group. And so that one just wasn't for me necessarily, but I did go occasionally.
I mean, the biggest component of a small group is comfortability.
Right.
So if you're not comfortable in a small group, then you're never going to be able to open up. You're never going to be able to grow within that group. So mm-hmm. I think comfortability is something that people kind of overlook sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's so hard in middle school, too, and high school. I mean, it was hard, you know? No one was comfortable with themselves, so why would we be comfortable with all these other middle schoolers?
Yeah.
I only, like, recently when I was in 20-somethings, started liking that small group. Yeah, and so it takes time. You got to find yourself, too.
Right. What about high school group? How was high school small groups for you on a Thursday night?
Mm-hmm. Kind of the same. And I felt like it was just because most of my time was spent transitioning. Either the year before me was already in high school, and so our group was trying to figure out how eighth grade looked. And then we were freshmen, and how did that look again when we were all together? And then finally, you know, when that group above me were seniors, and then they left, and then we were the seniors. So it was a lot of transitioning for me, not just in the small group room, though. It was high school in general was a lot of moving schools and finding more friends and deciding what I wanted to do. So that made it hard to be in a small group, especially because that time was just so busy for my family and I.
No, yeah.
So I kind of felt the same as I did in middle school. But I was glad for senior year to have started that 20-somethings group. And I don't know. It's hard to just find the right group, and it's hard to keep going and keep trying new things. But once you do find those people, it's you know.
Okay. So you're talking about your kind of senior group, how you guys have kind of gone through transitions together.
Yeah.
So you guys went on a senior trip.
We did go on a senior trip.
So tell me a little bit about what that was like for you guys.
So the funny thing is, our senior group, a lot of us had grown up together, like me, Mark, Mackenzie. A lot of us, we've just grown up since we were babies in this church. But we didn't talk much. It was weird how some of us would come on one day, Sundays, and then other people would come on the other Sundays. So we just grew apart as we grew up, as, you know, as it happens. And so going on this trip and being able to reconnect and get to know some of the seniors that were regulars that I saw every Sunday but didn't know was really cool. It was a different experience because it was something that I felt like each of us came in with our own, like, preconceived notions, and we all had these ideas of what our senior trip was going to be. But we needed to experience it for ourselves, and we needed to grow individually to be able to grow as this group. And I think that was the most important for us, because we had a lot of difficulties. Like, we had strong personalities, and we had to learn to work together in this way. And
I mean, you guys had several leaders, student-wise.
Yes, we had on that trip. Yeah, a lot of us are leadership personalities, so that always takes courage and just enough, like, I don't know, whatever you call that. You got to trust in other people enough to step down a little bit. So that was always difficult. But it, all in all, it was good because we were actually, like, physically lifting heavy objects and we were cleaning out mattresses and we were cleaning out churches and moving trucks, like, all these heavy things. And when you're doing something physical like that, it, like, clears your mind entirely.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're, like, thinking about that and you're not worried about what is she doing? You know, why, why isn't she doing this and so on?
All right, so you had kind of talked about mission trips and serving alongside of your senior class.
Yes.
And that kind of reminded me of a mission trip that we both went on to Ensenada, Mexico.
Yes,
and
I did do that.
I wasn't really sure where I was going to go with this, but I thought of it.
Okay.
So what, if you could, hold on, let me figure out how to phrase this. Would the mission trip that you went on with the senior class, is that in any all, in, words are hard, at any all shape or form comparable to the Ensenada trip that we've both been on?
I think anything can be comparable because, you know, you can compare the differences, but very different. Same in the fact that you're going somewhere to serve God's purpose and to help out people. Very, very different. I went to Southern California with a senior mission trip to just simply to help this family to clean out this space so that they can have a summer camp. Mm-hmm. And that was our job. It was just cleaning and moving and just fellowshipping with this family and giving them the support that they so often give everyone else. So just being that for them, which was different. Cool. It was just, it was kind of a, almost something that I've been doing my whole life, you know, just in the church in general. It's just, it's what we do. We help people. We help people move. And
yeah,
it's just part of everyday life. Going to Ensenada, Mexico was very eye-opening. It was my sophomore year, I believe, and or freshman.
It was your sophomore year, so it would have been my junior year.
Was it your junior year? It might have been my freshman year or your sophomore year.
Because I didn't go my sophomore year, but I went my junior, I went my freshman, junior, and senior year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was my sophomore year.
So it would have been my junior. Yeah. Okay.
But it was, first of all, I was traveling abroad, and to get there was a long time, plane ride and a bus trip, van trip. On the, well, the way back, had the worst trip memory that I've had, and I don't know, if, did you want to say something about the way back?
Is that when you're, when our bus driver?
Yeah, got
oh my gosh.
Yeah, one of the bus drivers got deported on the way back, so it was a lot of anxiety for us about, are they okay? Are they going to make it to the plane on time? We had people at the church actually calling for hotel rooms for them there to stay at that, like, in Mexico.
Yeah.
Overnight again. So that was intense, but serving, we built a house, which I've never done before.
Yeah. Did we build two houses
on
that
trip? We built two houses on that trip.
Oh my gosh, that was so much. If you guys have never been on, like, a house build mission trip, I highly encourage it. I didn't know anything. You don't have to know anything about building a house.
No, seriously, yeah.
They teach you everything. Because there's a lot of stuff that goes into building a house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, we've been on the paint crew.
We were on the paint crew.
A couple times. It was me, you, and Kennedy. And we were on,
yeah,
we had to paint the outside of the house. Uh-huh. And a lot of people don't think about that.
Yeah.
This last trip that I went on, I got to actually physically build the house.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So it was kind of different, but it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of going back to that story about our bus driver earlier, kind of to give more detail about that. So we went through an organization called YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission, which is actually the same organization that Kennedy, Jordan, and I all did our DTS with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also Jordan Mum did her DTS in Paris with it too. So we stayed at a base in Ensenada, Mexico. We met our bus driver that was driving us back to San Diego because that's where our flight was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We met him that day when we got into the van with him.
Which makes it worse for what's about to come.
Which, I mean, it's, you're on a mission trip.
Right.
There's people serving.
It's completely
serving.
Normal. And it's, everyone was super nice.
It sounds weird, but it's
good.
Normal.
Yeah. Everything's fine. He was a nice person.
Oh, yeah.
It's not about him.
So we connected with him on the way. His name was Danilo.
Yep.
We got to talk with him and all this stuff. We learned all about him. And then we get to the border, and the person checks all of our passports, checks all of the people in the car, gives them all back. But then he holds on to our bus driver's passport, and then he starts asking him questions. And one of the questions he kept, do you remember the question he kept asking him over and over again?
Mm-mm.
It was, when did you last go to Chicago?
Oh, yeah, the Chicago question. Oh, I thought you were going to say, do you know these? How long have you known these people?
Oh, no. Oh, well, there was they asked us that question, but they kept asking our bus driver, when was the last time you went to Chicago? Mm-hmm. And our bus driver is from Brazil. He recently got a passport so he could work in Mexico. He's never been to Chicago. The only place in America he's been to was San Diego because that's his usual routine.
Right, yeah.
So he's never been to Chicago. This guy kept asking him over and over and over again, when was the last time you were in Chicago? So eventually he got frustrated with him, and they took us into a secondary assessment, which I don't know if you guys have ever been to the border or have ever been stuck in secondary assessment, but it's where, like, we saw a car with the trunk lifted off of it with, like, stacks and stacks and stacks of money in the trunk. So it was like a drug smuggling car. There were people with assault rifles. There were people with, like, the big canine dogs. There were pictures everywhere that said, do not film during secondary assessment. So, of course, I got out my phone and started filming. So we were there for, like, at least an hour while... we don't have a bus driver. Like, our bus driver is inside. We're not going to get out of the car and go check to see if he was okay. The person that took him back there, he comes out after a little while and was like, hey, so how long have you known him for? How long have you known Danilo for? And we were like, when we got into the van with him this morning. And so it just looked
the
like a real... oh, yeah. It just looked like a really bad situation to begin with. So eventually the guy came back out. He's like, yeah, your bus driver's not coming back with you guys. We're going to hold him here overnight. You guys need to drive to wherever you guys are going. You guys can't stay here. Mm-hmm. And so we're both like, well, this isn't even our van. It's a company van from a completely different part of the world. Like, what do we do? So we called the base, and they had somebody to come out and send a second bus to come back and get it. And that was it. That's all we heard. And then a month later, we heard from him personally because he emailed our leader that went on that trip. And he was stuck in there, I want to say for, it was for like a week.
I think it was a little less than a week, but I think it was around
like
there.
I think it was like 3 or 4 days.
See, I had in my head 3.
But okay, so they might have been 3 days.
We could be wrong. I have no idea.
Three days to a week time. He was stuck in border jail, basically. But during those 3 weeks, or not 3 weeks, 3 days... He also got a minister. He got a minister to the people that he was with, and all 3 or 4 cellmates that he was with are all Christians now because of that moment.
That's so cool.
And so we kind of forget the fact that, like, oh, there could be some good coming out of our bad situation right now. Mm-hmm. And so we are all freaking out. Oh my gosh, how are we going to get to the airport? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? And yet, like, none of us thought of, like, what is this guy going to be doing? He's going to be in jail. He's going to be deported back to Brazil. But during that time, he got to minister and convert his 3 or 4 cellmates.
Yeah.
So that's always one of my favorite stories to tell because it was just a really weird situation that kind of got turned into something good.
Yeah.
What was one of the biggest lessons that you've learned growing up through youth ministry, whether it's a biblical mm-hmm. lesson, whether it's like a personal life lesson, if you could give like 1 or 2 pieces of advice mm-hmm. to the students of the youth group now, what would you say to them?
I think I've been asked this question a couple times, and I just go back to my senior teaching, and what I taught them was this idea that your pathway and God's plan for you is different than anyone else's. So, like, where I may not have fit in a small group, that's okay, because it wasn't my plan to fit into that group, you know? I didn't have to, like, I wasn't supposed to be, you know, the most popular kid in school. That wasn't God's plan for me, and it's super hard, but just to keep going to the idea that it's in God's timing, whatever's gonna happen, this is His plan for me, it's not anyone else's plan. It's my own unique plan. So when I watch, you know, my friends go on these YWAM trips, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. It's like, yeah, but that's not where God has you. That's not His plan for you. His plan is here. You know, you need to work here. And like, God's plan for you, Jeffrey, was to go away and to go to YWAM and to do those crazy mission trip and to have those experiences and those memories and, you know, to meet the people that you met there. And, you know, that was His plan for you. And so my plan is just different, and that's okay. And it's just, it takes a lot of self-reflection, and it takes a lot of praying, and it takes a lot of catching myself in those negative thoughts where it's like, well, why am I not like that? Why isn't this happening for me? You know, so on and so forth, to be able to step back and say, no, this is God's plan, in God's timing, how it's going to work out, he'll work it out for the best.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think that's one of the places I kind of struggle with the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though I got to go on all these cool stuff,
right?
I see all my friends from DTS that are all going back for secondary schools. Yeah. I'm like, oh, like, I'm so jealous. Like, I want to go do that.
Right.
But I'm not called to go do that. Mm-hmm. I'm called to be an intern in Reno, Nevada.
Right.
And Reno. So, yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just want to encourage you guys. If you guys are ever going through something, every one of us has thought of the point to where it's like, well, why bother?
That's true.
We've all had that moment, but we've all gotten past that moment, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think trying to... Do you remember that breakout room that we had in Ensenada? Kind of when we were doing debrief, and they had that cool quote on the wall about something like, the moment your life begins...
Is
the day that you figured out why you were born, or something.
Yeah, I was going to say it was something...
It was some cool quote that I can't... I can imagine in my head, but I can't phrase it. But it was something along the lines of, everybody will one day figure out why God created them.
Right.
And that's on God's timing, that's on his timing. If we try to rush that, it won't be fruitful.
Yeah.
It won't be as good as if we were just to wait for God's timing.
Right. And I know that's hard for, like, my own plan for my life, but it's even harder for me for, like, watching other people struggle. Like, watching my closest friends and family members go through these hard times. And it's like, oh my gosh, why can't I do anything? And to give him that control in their lives, too, because it just so much empathy and hurt for them.
Mm-hmm.
So
One of the things that I think I talked about earlier on Whitney when she was on the podcast.
I love Whitney.
Jason, a few weeks ago... Oh, I think everybody loves Whitney. Jason, a few weeks ago, was doing this teaching main service, and he was like, well, what are you grateful for?
Yeah.
I know, it's really hot in here.
Nick never likes the hot, too. Okay, sorry.
sorry, there's like four heaters in this room right now, and we're trying to record in here, and the door's closed. Jason was asking this question of, what are you grateful for? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of us immediately think for, like, oh, what are the good things in my life?
Right.
But you could also be grateful for the negative things that have happened in your life. And that kind of eye-opened for me to where I went through a really bad depression state in middle school and, like, early high school that I never thought anything good could ever come out of it.
Right.
Looking back on it now, I am so thankful that had happened to me, as weird as that sounds.
Right.
Because now it gives me the ability to connect with the people who do need somebody to be there for him. And so I just... If you're going through, like, a depression state or an emotional state, or there is a death in the family, or there's a divorce going on, or if there's things at home that aren't going to go well, like, it might be bad now, but you could also... God could always turn it into a good situation as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, every lesson's learnable in any situation, I think.
Right. And not to say that whatever's happening right now isn't bad. You know, you need to feel whatever's happening now.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
If your situation is bad, it's okay to feel bad.
Yeah, definitely. And it's okay to be in that. And please,
it's okay not to be okay.
It's definitely. And so that's not, and what Jeffrey's saying, that's not what we're saying here. It's just that, you know, when you look back on this, it could be something that changed your life in a way that you never thought possible, in a way that could be inspirational, in a way that could shape your entire future, and all for good, in good ways. And so I think that's important when it feels like nothing good will ever come again. Just know that it will, and God will come through for you.
Cool. So I'll ask, it's one last question, and then we'll kind of wrap up here.
Is it, what's my favorite color?
Oh, we can do that one.
No, go ahead.
We could do that too.
No, ask your question.
What's your favorite moment of, like, our friendship? Like, what? Okay, if I were to think of. If I were to say, think of a Jeffrey and Kaylee moment, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I'm thinking Alfreda.
Oh, gosh. We all came up with these nicknames in Mexico for each other.
Yeah.
What was I?
Wait, we didn't remember.
I don't remember what I was. I remember you and Dana. Those are the only two I remember.
Yeah, but I also know, I don't know when it started, but now I've been calling you best friend.
Oh, yeah. I don't know when that started either.
We just will walk up and be like, hey, best friend.
I don't think I've ever addressed you by your name.
In a long time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're still Alfreda in my phone.
Right?
Whenever you text me, I'm like, who is this? I'm like, oh, it's Kaylee.
Oh, it's Kaylee. Yeah. Well, what's your favorite moment?
I would just say Mexico. Just any of the interactions in Mexico, because I think that was the time that we actually got to, like, connect.
Yeah.
Like, we've always known each other.
Yeah.
But we weren't really, like, we were friends, but I wouldn't say we were good friends until that trip.
Yeah, definitely. I also...
Oh, or the time that I came over for your birthday party.
Oh, yeah!
I remember that. That was fun.
That was fun.
Your dog hated us.
Yeah. He died. It's okay. didn't need to be said. I was going to say a time you used to help in the nursery with me.
Oh, yeah.
That was some bonding.
You used to serve in the nursery for a good while.
I served in the nursery for 6 years.
Nice. Geez, so some of those kids now are going to almost be in our youth group. Alrighty, well, I just want to say thank you, Kaylee, for being on this episode.
You're welcome.
If you guys have any questions from today's episode, feel free to ask me or Kaylee.
Yep.
If you guys have any more questions about mission trips in general, come talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, see you guys later, and I hope you guys have a good week.
Bye!